One of my favorite authors and colleagues is Lieutenant Colonel David Grossman, who wrote a Pulitzer Prize-nominated book called On Killing. And he talks about the fact that one of the schoolyard killers had never fired an actual gun in his life, took 5 shots, and had 5 hits, all upper torso and head, because he had practiced shooting on a video game. What are your opinions, Ed and Craig, on first-person shooter video games?
First-person shooter games can be a lot of fun. I don't play them anymore. I used to. They're basically very exciting, very immediate. You get rewarded for making these quick decisions, and the quick decision always is to shoot the bad guys. The lessons that are being taught in those games are lessons that if most parents sat down and thought about, they would realize this is not what I want my kids to grow up to think, that, boy, when there's a conflict, what you do is you respond quickly and you basically harm the other person. At least I would like to think that most parents don't believe that that's the way the world should work. The research evidence is very clear that playing such games in short term, playing as little as 15 minutes, increases aggressive thinking, increases aggressive feelings, and increases aggressive behavior. We've also shown that playing such games can decrease what you might think of as empathy or negative emotional reactions to scenes of violence, what often gets called desensitization. There are a lot of harmful effects, and we know that those short-term harmful effects continue and it basically accumulate, sort of like smoking a cigarette, right? Nobody gets cancer from smoking one cigarette. But there are short-term effects that are quite measurable, and we also now know that there are long-term effects. It's one of the leading causes of certain forms of cancer, particularly lung cancer. Well, we're showing the same kind of phenomena in the media violence domain and first-person shooters, or third-person shooters for that matter, show the same kind of effects. One of the things that Ed commented on earlier that I think is worth noting, and this leads to a lot of confusion or misunderstanding, I think, among the general public, but among practitioners as well, and that is extreme forms of violence never occur when there's only one causal risk factor present. You don't have school shooters who only have a violent video game history, or who only have a very bad childhood, or who only were cyberbullied or bullied in schools. They don't become school shooters because of just one risk factor. The extreme violence only occurs when there are 4, 5, 6, many cases 8 or 9 known causal risk factors. So a lot of times I'll get arguments from students and from other people, parents sometimes, about how, well, you know, I've played violent video games a lot and I've never killed anyone. So therefore, all your research must be wrong. And it's like, no, that's not the way. You know, I've never said, no media violence researcher that I know has ever said that media violence or video game violence is the primary cause of violent crime. That's not the case. Does playing a lot of violent video games increase the likelihood of an extreme violent behavior? Well, probably it does only for those who already have a lot of other risk factors. Does that mean that people who don't have those other risk factors are immune to violent media effects? And the answer is no. If the most extreme thing that they're likely to do now is to say something nasty in response to a provocation, if they become heavy consumers of violent media, that most extreme behavior on their part might go up a notch. It might go into pushing or shoving or hitting. If at the moment their most extreme violent behavior is pushing or shoving and they become a heavy media violence consumer, then their most extreme response might go up another notch. But the same can be said for any of the causal risk factors, of which there's a dozen or so that appear in almost every textbook on violence. But media violence, as Ed was pointing out, is one that is of sufficient size to be concerned, and it's one that you can do something about without a whole lot of money involved, either by the individual family or by society.
Craig hit the nail right on the head, because we seem to have no problem when we think about heart disease and what are some of the factors that go into developing coronary disease. And there are a number of factors. Any single one isn't necessarily going to be the determinant, but there are lots of them, from smoking to obesity to genetics, you name it. And I'm very surprised in this area of the naysayers, because Craig is quite right. Nobody is saying if you view X, play a video game or view a violent film, certain things are going to occur. No, it's cumulative. It is an interaction with other factors. And I think this is also one area, Vic, where there is an incredible amount of consistency. If you really look at the research from video games to traditional media, there is very consistent, very sophisticated theory which has been tested. Craig has some very good theoretical models on video games. There are different types of methods being used across the spectrum, which all tend to converge in one form or the other. There are cross-cultural studies, so the populations tend to be the same. If you consistently look at all the research, and we're not talking about single studies, you know, in these areas, if we include video games, hundreds of different types of studies have been done. They're fairly consistent. And I'm very surprised that somebody would say the data's not there. And Craig might be right. It might be because people are somehow assuming what the researchers are saying is if you play a first-person shooter, you're going to become a violent individual. That isn't what's being said at all.
Actually, I'm not surprised, because if you accept the fact that people are desensitized by media violence, we've all been desensitized. And so it's not a big deal for people. If you just compare From Russia with Love, my favorite James Bond movie, to Quantum of Solace or Casino Royale, the amount of violence that we see every day and that we play in video games has been consistently ratcheted up and up and up. And people have been desensitized by it. So I'm not surprised we don't do anything about it. I agree with you completely. We need to do something about it. The other aspect of video games and media violence in general that concerns me is the notion of justifiable violence. That I'm the good guy, you're the bad guy, I'm going to blow you away. And I think when you teach particularly young children the notion of justifiable violence, that's dangerous.
I agree, Vic. And one of the things that, again, when I talk to parent groups in particular, is I'll ask parents to think about the last time that they got really angry at someone. And then after a couple of seconds, I'll ask them, all right, who was right and who was wrong? Why were you angry? Who was the good guy and who was the bad guy? And inevitably, of course, they'll say, well, the other person did something wrong. They're the bad person. And then I'll ask them, so if that is the case, that any time that you're angry, it's because you think someone else did something wrong, what do you think teaching your kids or allowing the media industries to teach your kids that violence against a bad guy is okay? What do you think that means? You'll get this kind of hesitation, and then someone, well, I guess that means that whenever they're angry, what we've just taught them is they should respond with violence or aggression in some way. And I'll say, that's exactly the point. Just because it's a superhero beating up on a bad guy, or it's, more recently, U.S. troops killing the Taliban or killing some other enemy of the United States, that doesn't mean that the lessons that are being taught is that, oh, good triumphs over evil. No, what the lesson being taught is, when you perceive that someone else is in the wrong, it's okay to use violence.